Imagine with me a moonlit night. It's beautiful. It's a rising yellow moon, and you're out in your yard or by a fireplace and just enjoying the evening. I remember my first time of being with Bonnie. As we first met, it was an early July summer evening in this cove of this lake where we had met, and the moon was shining bright yellow, and I laid a good kiss on her for the first time. Now, take a look at these images of the moon, these different phases of the moon. We have a new moon, a young moon, waxing crescent moon, a first quarter moon, a waxing gibbous, a full moon, a waning gibbous, a last quarter moon, a waning crescent, and an old moon. And looking at these images, have you ever felt like any of these phases? I know I have. There's been times where I've been a full, bright moon and just full of life, full of energy. And then other times I'm just kind of half into it, just, a half moon. And then sometimes I'm like what we called as a kid, the fingernail of God, you know, the old moon. And I'm just like barely out of it or sometimes I'm like a new moon and I'm not even around at all. In life, that's very familiar with, I'm sure, with each of you, but what about your Christian walk? Is there times where you're up on top of the mountain feeling like Christ being transfigured in the bright light, shining, and then other times you're like Peter, just shying away with no light shining at all? The only way, friends, the only way that you can shine is if you let Christ inside. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be studying verses 14 through 16. These are the words of Jesus right after the blessings of the Sermon of the Mount. He says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let us pray. Father God, mighty, unapproachable light, you are everlasting. We come to you this morning and asking for grace. We're asking for peace, and we are asking for the light of Jesus to shine in our hearts. Speak to each and every one of us, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus specifically says to the people who are gathered around him, is saying, "You are the light of the world." Now, taking a little bit of a turn from the theological aspect, what is light? So let's look at the scientific. So in literal terms, we're going to look at the electromagnetic spectrum. And I know for some of you, you would say, what is that? But when you look at this image, you'll kind of get an understanding. So there are visible light. That's what we can see. That's like the rainbow color. And then when you go to the left of the image, the waves are decreasing of the infrared, the microwaves, and the radio waves. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the waves are increasing. It's UV, ultraviolet rays, X-rays, and gamma rays. And I know a lot of that's a little bit heady, and it is for me too, because I'm only able to see the visual light that I can see. Other interesting fact is that some 33% of the people have a photic sneeze reflex. So that's when, you know, you tell a person, just look at the light and you'll be able to see. And for me, that doesn't really work. And as I'm reading, Bonnie and I are reading to Judah, we're reading about Elisha, and then he's raising this little boy from the dead and he's sneezing some seven times. And I wonder, was the light of God coming near this young boy? I don't really know for sure. Another interesting fact about light is that it travels some 300 million meters per second. Now, I don't know really how fast that is, but I see the millions, and I'm thinking that's probably got to be fast. So let's bring it down into our perspective of our solar system, at least. The Earth to the sun is a little bit over 90 or a little bit under 94 million miles. And it takes 8 minutes for that light to travel to Earth. So we're looking at 8 minute old light when we see from the sun. Now, coming in a little bit closer to kind of understand the speed at which light travels, in 1 second on our planet, 1 second, light can travel around the whole Earth, 1 second, 7.5 times. I mean, this is just beyond understanding, beyond our human comprehension. So as light travels, it behaves in two ways. It behaves in a particle, and it also behaves in wavelengths. So behaving differently with different objects of matter, so of stuff, of tangible stuff. So when light passes through an object, imagine with me a glass of water. Light passes through that glass of water, and it goes through the other side. It's a little bit diluted. It's not as strong as a powerful, but this is a transparent object, so light can pass through it. Now, opaque object, this is wood, rock, like the pulpit here, or a person. When light shines on those objects, it's not able to penetrate, it's not able to go through, so it'll bounce off in a different direction. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, that's great, Pastor Josh, where's the spiritual connection? Where is the theology? Well, I mean, you can try to piece that together yourself, but I just thought these were amazing facts about light, you know, and I think for a lot of us, we kind of take light for granted. Those who can see, seeing the beautiful sunrises, sunsets, middle of the day, the shining moon, the stars, and even just going to our light switches on the wall, flipping the light on, not really thinking that this is a creation of light, of energy. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty, the biblical understanding of light. So light in the Bible is a universal religious symbol across the board. It's showing purity, truth, knowledge, divine revelation or presence. And this is every bit of who God is. He's pure, he's true, divine, he's revealing. But what the Bible has, it's this underlying message that, and even for the Hebrew mindset, light and darkness coincide. They're not completely against each other, per se. So there's literal and figurative language that goes on in the Bible. So for the ancient Hebrew, They had a different maybe understanding than what we do. So let's dive in deeper. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. So we know that God created in the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So there, darkness, it's a literal substance. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, this is literal language. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So there they are together in the form, and God dividing it. And so God, in verse 5, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were of the first day. So in the Hebrew mindset, their worldview, light was a manifestation of divine operation. The Hebraic mind thought of light as a supernatural phenomenon. So literally, they were able to look, I mean, the Word of God talked about the heavenly luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars. They're literal objects of God's divine power. Job 38, 19 and 20, God is asking Job these questions concerning his omnipotence. God is saying, where is the way to the dwelling of light? In darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. So literally, God is saying these are literal things. Now, quoting from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, this author says that the phenomenon of dawn prior to the sunset was to them, speaking of the ancient Hebrews, an evidence that God pursued a special goal in creating this world. The dawn indicated that darkness will not last and reign forever. Light, therefore, is the essence of all the gifts through which God blesses his creation. So light was one of the central themes of the Hebraic worship system. When we look at the sanctuary, there's the burnt offering with fire creating light, the candelabra, the seven-branch candlestick in the holy place of light, the burning of the incense in the holy place, and most importantly, the mercy seat, this Shekinah glory, the dwelling place of God. Though they did not worship the fire or the light, but the living God who is light, unapproachable, the source of light. Light as well brings order. We see in the sequence of the sanctuary, the steps in progress towards God. There's these light places, places of light. The seven literal days of creation. Order is the underlying whole of God's creation. God is first saying, let there be light, and it reveals. So now, kind of going back to what this Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible is talking about, the figurative type of language mixed with the literal. So Genesis 1:3, these are some of God's first words written down by Moses, let there be light. This is a representing as meaning, principle, intellect. When God said, let there be light, it was a literal thing. He saw the light and divided it from the darkness. But there's also figurative language being spoken of here. So in the creation account, the Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. So Spirit in the Hebrew language is ruach. So ruach is also translated as wind or breath, hovering over the face of the deep. So God spoke with his breath, light into the darkness. God makes light of situation. He exposes the darkness. So getting back to what Jesus is saying, is he talking figurative language or is he talking literal language? Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, again. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So here in this account in Matthew, we must understand the context of what Jesus is even, where he's at. He's right now giving one of the most political speeches that's going to turn the world upside down. You've heard it said this way, but I'm telling you, you need to do it this way. So the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, right before these verses, is giving, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus is right now literally shining light on the subject of the kingdom of God, shining light into the dark world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now you will have the kingdom of God. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will be filled, obtaining mercy. You will see God. Literally, being a Christian is having light. So light on dark subjects. Jesus came to the earth, revealing hidden meaning since the foundation of the world. Friends, you are the light of the world. Now the word you here is as the followers who are right now the light of the world. And Jesus says, you are. So are is in the present tense. It's a verb. Right now you are the light of the world. Now the word light here is phos. It's where we get the word photo. So what Jesus is kind of saying, you are a photo of me. You are a photo of Jesus, a clear picture of Jesus to the dark world. You are the light of the world. In you, Jesus has placed hope. Jesus has placed joy. Jesus has placed eternity in your hearts. The only way that you can shine, friends, is if you let Christ inside. Let his light shine in you. Now, moving on, a city that is set on a hill cannot be easily hidden. So anyone who has traveled, you go through these small towns. Some of you live in those small towns, and you know the saying that if you blink, you'll miss it entirely. But on the other hand, a city, think about when you go on those big trips and you come to those cities that you've never seen before, and then you start to see the high rises starting to make its way over the landscape. You know, some of the situations that you've seen are Chattanooga, Atlanta, Chicago, New York. These places are visible for miles around. And Jesus says a city that is set. So set is something that is located. It has a particular purpose, a foundation. In ancient times, when Jesus is speaking, for which he is speaking, cities were usually made of white limestone. So imagine it. In the sun, this city would shine bright. But not just the city blazing with light, but the location. You are a city set on a hill. Bright, shining structure. Specifically glowing in the sun. Purposefully placed. Bonnie and I used to live in a community called Collegedale. And there in Collegedale, we would see some of the light pollution from Chattanooga. Now, where we live now, there's not so much light pollution. We don't really see any of the surrounding city's lights too often. So where there is light, there is life. There is people. You, a city on a hill, is a vantage point, a place of purpose, a place for the wanderer to find rest, a place that is mentioned of in the Old Testament, Mount Zion, a place that would welcome people of the world, no matter the race, the skin color, the culture. Will you be that place where the poor in heart can find rest? Will you be that place where the meek are searching for a place to dwell? Will you be a shelter in the time of storm for someone? Jesus is inviting you to be a place where he dwells. Will you let him in? Will you let his light in? But Jesus goes further with his metaphor. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So the whole point of a lamp, the whole point of a flashlight, if you're not a police officer, is to give light, lighting the way, giving clarity in the dark, helping one not to stumble. But what's the purpose of this lamp, of this light? Who is this light giving light to? Well, where does Jesus say that this lamp is specifically located? Not just on a lampstand for purpose, but in all who are in the house. Friends, the home, some if not all of the greatest works that will be done in a person's life will be done within the walls of your dwelling place. And I'm asking you right now, what are you using that light that God has given? What are you using that light for? Is it hours in front of the television? Is it not caring at all what your children are watching, not what they're doing? Are you making no effort at all to spending time with Jesus on your knees in his word? Are you making no time with the light that has been given you to have family Bible study? The light has come into the world and is desperately wanting you to shine in Christ's glory. So what is the point of the light that Jesus is speaking of? Why is Jesus referring to us as these luminary symbols? Well, let's think back to the image of the moon. That picture that was in your mind there at the beginning of the sermon of this light. What is the point of the moon without light? Now, we can argue and say that there's certain gravitational pulls and this is and that, but think about the beauty of a beautiful fall harvest moon. I mean, giant orange light coming over the mountainside. The silvery white of a midwinter's night sky ablaze with silver, with splendor. Just a couple years ago, I saw a solar eclipse, and it was one of the most amazing things that I have ever seen before in my life. Light has always been a symbol of divine presence. Are you giving a clear light image of Jesus? Are you in your life being as a full moon view? Or are you not shining as you should be? Now, the light is in us if we believe. And you know what's going to happen? The way that you look at people, it's going to change. Your words are going to change. Your actions are going to change. We illuminate the dark world around us, friends. Verse 16, Jesus is saying, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, is this some kind of forced agenda? You need to read this book because somebody else told me that you need to read it. Or you need to come to church. You need to come to this meeting. You've got to hear this pastor, this sermon. I don't really think that's what Jesus is implying, because there is a time and a place. I know my mom banged me over the head when I was a teenager to come back to church, and I'm glad she did that. I didn't really care for it at the time, but what does it mean to let your light so shine before men? Now, we who are true Christians, we're a beacon of light, a candle. But why do we need this light? What's the point? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, the point is not about you. John 8, 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." John 1, 1 through 5, some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." Now, here's the point in verse 4. "In him, Jesus, was life, and the light, life was the light of men. And the light shines into darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the battle of all times, the great controversy, Christ versus Satan, good versus evil, light versus darkness. Satan has always made efforts to throw God's full plan in the shade, not allowing his full rays to come into light, not fully revealing what the Lord God has said. The light of Christ brings wisdom, brings understanding to life's problems. The desire to look to Jesus is within all of us. Though you must step into his marvelous light, and he will enter your inner person. So therefore, our principles will change. Our conversations are going to change. Your integrity will change. Let your light shine. Let Jesus shine. Let your light shine before men. Think of with me about a light bulb. It's a pretty interesting invention, and they're getting more and more complex. But think about the Edison light bulb, the simple brass or metal bottom, the screw-in part where it goes in the socket, and then you got the outside casing, and then the filament inside. It's all an amazing, unique invention. But, you know, you could put it on a shelf and it looks okay, and it's a kind of an ornament, a decoration, but it serves almost no purpose without the power source. The power shining, coming through it, shining out. Again, friends, it's not your light. The light is from the Almighty Jesus. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The metaphors Jesus uses are exactly the point to our witness, allowing Him to set us up on a hill, to set us up as a shining city, glowing and dazzling in brightness, allowing Him to cause you to become a burning beacon in this sin-filled night. Do not cover your light, that it is extinguished. Let it shine. A lunar eclipse, if you don't know the difference, a lunar eclipse is different from a solar eclipse. I'm sure many of you saw the solar eclipse, at least in this region of Tennessee, and maybe beyond you saw it or have seen one before. But a lunar eclipse is the moon is not reflecting the sun's light. So one of the beautiful creations of what the moon is to be on display, is to be an amazing bright bulb in the sky, if you will. So when the lunar eclipse happens, as you see in this image, it's where the earth comes in between the moon and the sun, blocking its light completely. Now look at this image of the sun representing Jesus, and we the moon. What's in the way, friends? What's in the way from us shining? The world. Are you experiencing a spiritual eclipse right now amidst all the terror of this virus? The cares of the world about, well, he said this, and well, she said that, and the cares of wanting to blame somebody else. Allowing the world to get in the way of you in the light of Jesus Christ. The bills, the job, I'm lonely, viruses, numbers, the economy, what am I to do? Let Jesus shine in you. You will be something spectacular. Friends, we are on display for all the universe to see. So let your light shine before men. Friends, you are the light of the world. Jesus is desperately wanting to shine in you in these last moments of Earth's history. People are watching you more than your words. Friends, let us be in the light of Christ. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day. There's so much going on, Father, so much deep, complex to who you are, what you've created. And Father God, we believe that you are light unapproachable. Jesus, you are the light of the world. I pray, Jesus, that you will draw near each hearer this morning. Let their hearts be so filled with joy that they have to desperately talk to you and confess to you. Jesus, just like when you created all things at the beginning, shining light in the darkness, shine light in each and every one of our darkened hearts. Let us not be like stones where that light can't reflect through, but let us be clear glasses for you, Jesus, to shine through. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.